Were you singing Moon River earlier?
No, I was actually singing a song from another music, a musical.
Moon River is stuck in my head, and you were going to be the person I blamed for it. Is it a Christmas song?
I don't think so.
No.
It's just kind of like a jazzy, like, crooner song, right? Like,
maybe it's been on a commercial I've been watching or something.
It's been in a video game that...
What?
Recently, yeah. All that stuff's my jam. So yeah. I'm not upset that I put that lovely song in your head.
Thanks, even though you're not fessing up to it. This is Be Createful, a podcast about how we find fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 51, we're talking about what we learned this year.
Because this is the last episode of the year.
Oh,
wow. Also, do I sound older? Because I've had a birthday.
Oh, yeah. You totally sound older right now. The wisdom and maturity is just oozing off of your voice.
Even though at the time of this recording, I'm not yet older. But by the time it's hitting your ears, I am. So I'm like channeling the future wisdom now.
Ooh, it's all soaking in.
Moon River.
It's all soaking into her voice.
Yeah, so I'm sure I had a wonderful birthday.
Well, yeah.
I'm now a year older in the future.
How's it feel? How does future you feel?
Well, I'm going to like it because it's an even numbered year.
Oh, you don't like being an odd number?
I actually, I've just been 37.
Okay.
And I don't mind 37. Seven is an odd number I like more than like one or three.
Really?
Yeah.
I like ones and threes. How do you feel about eights then?
It's an even number.
Yeah.
And I think I like all even numbers.
You know, visually, three is half of eight.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
That's so cool.
My math teacher used that as a riddle once where she was like, you know what? I can't remember how she phrased it, but basically, what's half of eight? And we're all like, four. And she's like, nope, it's three. And we're like, what? No. Huh.
Yeah, you'd have to phrase it in the right way that it implied.
Yeah.
Not what's four, what's eight divided by two.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's half of eight?
Or like, what's eight cut in half?
Yeah.
Because then if you drew a line down eight.
That Mrs. Lamb was so sneaky.
Mrs. Lamb, you sneaky teacher.
I loved her, though. She was one of my favorites.
What grade did you say?
I think she was my fifth or sixth grade math teacher.
Yep. Okay, well.
On that tangent.
Well, that's what Madison learned in fifth or sixth math.
Yep.
And here's what we learned in 2021.
I thought this year was going to be going back to normal, you know, getting back into some grooves again. And it was not.
That's interesting because the first thing that I wrote down that I learned is back to normal doesn't exist.
Yep. That's exactly true. I mean, even if we didn't just have a pandemic sweep the world, I think every year is going to bring something new, right? Like, why did I expect it to be, quote, normal?
Right. Because what is normal anyway? I think it's when we've feel like we are in our routine, but the nature of our work at Make Do does not have a normal.
No.
Like over the course of a few years, we might have a typical summer or a typical season, but day to day, month to month is always different.
Which is what I like about it. Mm-hmm. Getting to work with people means you never know what's going to happen or who might be interested in what or what trend is going to come your way.
Yeah. Or what maybe worked before and didn't work now or vice versa.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the fleshing out of that idea for me of back to normal doesn't exist. It's like on the map somewhere in Neverland.
Wait. It's just somewhere.
Neverland doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was trying to figure out how does that work?
I was just thinking of like a fantasy map.
Oh, okay.
That's where you'll find normal. And then you can go back there.
In the fantasy world.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Madison.
Maybe that explains why I like fantasy so much. I don't know. As to start off, I wrote down seam rippers or tiny harpoons. That's what I learned this year.
Who taught you that, Madison?
It was our boys class that taught me that. They're so cute. And one of the other things that I wrote down was how to get boys into sewing. They were already creative, which was helpful.
Right.
But I learned how to sneak them over from the art class to, hey, come over and take a sewing class. You might be interested.
Well, and you had to get them to the art class first.
That's true. Thankfully, they were already kids that were willing to buy into the class. Because getting kids into a class is probably the hardest part. Like getting them to trust you, to like you, and then be willing to do the things that you set down in front of them.
There's so much that goes into that too on if a kid or an adult is going to have a good time, because a lot of the things are out of our control. So for boys in particular, what if they're the only boy in class? You know, that's out of our control. Are they going to have a good time? Or, you know, we can't control what the other kids are like. And so sometimes you just have to like let those expectations go a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tried to control it a little bit with our boys only first, like level one sewing class, which I think helped them then transition into, okay, now you're going to be with, you know, girls as well in the class. Mm-hmm. And they've had just as good of a time. I think it just kind of takes those little like stepping stones to get them interested into something that they may not have tried if I just cold like offered them, hey, you want to come to a sewing class?
Right.
So.
Right. Because we'd only had, before you offered the level one boys only sewing class, we'd only had a couple of boys that had gone through sewing.
Yeah. And it's usually like family members.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I learned how to like place these little breadcrumbs to slowly bring people into more of our classes.
Yeah. Okay. Another big thing that I learned this year is to name what matters. Thank you, Kendra Adachi, the lazy genius.
Yes.
But I think the ways that naming what matters has impacted me the most is one, recognizing that I can't do it all.
Mm.
Also, it all doesn't need doing anyway. You know, like there's a lot of things or ideas that I have for make do that can be quite time consuming. And then I think that I need to do everything around that idea, or that I need to do every idea. And one, that's not sustainable because I don't have limitless energy. And also, not everything has benefit or value or helps move our mission forward.
Yeah, I would agree. I have one of the things I wrote down was kind of like that. Let's see. Oh, protect what you love by saying no, which kind of goes along with that.
Right. And maybe like from the other side of the coin.
Yeah. There are certain things here that are important, hence the name what matters. Mm-hmm. And you want to protect those things. And that's the things that you want to spend actual time on. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about connecting it back to like my Mending Mondays, where I thought that was the most important thing. But it was really hindering my creativity. So I just quit that.
Right.
I was like, no, can't do that. That's not what's really important to me.
Or the reason it was important maybe wasn't similar to what we were talking about last week with a passion project, that if you're putting in more time than you are, than the value you're getting back from it, it no longer is worth it. Even if maybe it was at the beginning of when you started that.
Exactly. So yeah, definitely naming what matters. Oh, I also wrote down how to ask for what you need. Which is kind of similar to that, because it came out of the conversation of when we kind of reconvened after summer of like, we need to figure out how we're going to continue to, how make do is going to flow.
Right.
How we're going to find this rhythm. And I realized that I have a lot of trouble asking for what I need. So I've been trying to do that more within
these
past
few months. Do you have trouble knowing what it is you need, or actually doing the asking?
Doing the asking.
Okay.
I always know what I actually want, but it's buried underneath layers of like other people's expectations, my own expectations that I put on myself. And I have to kind of rip each layer off until I finally get to, oh yeah, this is what I actually need. And I need to be able to ask for it, which can be hard to do if what you think that you need makes you seem like weak or inefficient or something. Like if it makes you, quote, look bad.
Right.
Because you need help.
Right.
That's hard to ask for.
Yes. In a similar vein, I learned in 2021 how to be a boss.
Yes.
Thank you, Madison, for being patient with me while I learned that. And I think one of the things that I learned is that what you need and what I want you to need are different things.
Yes.
Like, I value flexibility. And so I thought that that's what you would need as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out you needed more accountability than flexibility.
I needed to know what you wanted from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with you telling me what to do.
Right.
You're the boss.
Yes.
I get that.
So sometimes I forget that. But I'm learning how to be a kind boss, but to be I'm the one that has to make the final decisions.
Yes. Well, I had a question that I was going to ask you. Basically, we all assume that when you get to a leadership position that you'll know how to do it.
Right.
And I just kind of get this feeling that it's something that you do have to learn. People are like, what do you mean you have to learn how to be the boss? You just have to tell someone what to do. So, it's kind of I guess there really wasn't a question in there, but it's kind of it is a learning experience, like learning how to be an employee.
Right. It goes back to imposter syndrome too, because I think when there are things like that, when you're in a leadership role, you'll know what to do, or you have earned, you've earned your promotion into that role. Then when you don't know what to do, you can start to feel like an imposter, like you don't deserve the role.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference with me is that I have created this. No one promoted me into this.
Yes.
And so sometimes I can think, I don't know.
Well, and I felt that way too about my position. Like, it's a newly created position. What does it look like to be a kids program director? What kinds of responsibilities go with that?
Right. Was my confidence in you helpful?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I feel the same about my board. Like, when I am sharing questions or I don't know how this is going to work out or whatever with my board, and then they are saying to me, well, we know you can do this. That is helpful.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another thing I've learned is that it's invaluable to surround yourself with people who
have confidence in you.
Yes. And that you also will tell you when you're not doing it right. Like, you don't just want hype people around you all the time that think everything you do is amazing. That's not very helpful either.
No. You need that constructive criticism. Uh-huh. I wrote down how to write and take photos for a blog. Because
you were very specific. I'm more general things I learned, but.
Well, I was so excited that I was contributing to the website because that's something that was completely you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt really nice to be able to help you out as well as to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something new that I've never done before. And the internet space is a place where I don't feel entirely comfortable.
Right.
But I learned how to take photos at the appropriate time and of day and have the right lighting and how to write copy and things like that. And now I do feel more confident. I'm like, oh.
Good, because I don't like doing that part. I don't like writing copy. You know, that's another thing about naming what matters and I can't do it all. I can't be a good copywriter and a accountant and everything. So, that can be
overwhelming. And it brings me joy that I can, as your mom would say, help fill in your cracks.
Yep.
I want to be the support for you.
Yeah. Here's one thing I learned.
Okay.
A quick tidy goes a long way.
Oh, we just did this today.
Yeah. The studio, it had been a while. Well, we've been having a lot of private parties or trying to get a lot of kits made. So we've kind of been making little messes that just get stacked on top of each other. And
yes.
So before we recorded, I said, Madison, can we just do a quick tidy? And we did, and it feels better.
Absolutely. Well, and we've also been doing lots of things where the studio has been entirely rearranged.
Yeah.
For all kinds of open houses and whatnot. But
I always put off the tidying, though, because it's never the fun thing. And this is one time where it does help either to have a partner to help you do it or to set a timer and just go as fast as you can and get it done as fast as you can.
I don't mind cleaning. It's just, I always think that there's something more pressing to do than cleaning.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It always feels like a waste of time because it's going to get messy again. or it's, you know,
I've got these orders to get out, or I need to design this or that before I can.
It just never feels like it's the most important thing.
Yes.
Even though it really sets the tone for what we are doing and for how creative we can be, I think.
It feels so much better when I don't have to, like, swipe my hand across the table to make space.
Yes.
To do something.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see. Oh, I got to run a private party all on my own, which was so exciting. I'm so glad that you trusted me with that.
Oh, you're welcome. You can do them all.
Actually, I've run classes before, but this was the first like private party with like, it was a girl's birthday party. Very cute. And I just felt so confident and so empowered.
That was the first one you've done?
I think so.
Oh.
Like actual private party. Most of them I've done with you, or it's been like I'm facilitating a class where someone else is teaching.
I don't want to spend too long on this because it'd be real boring for people to listen to. But I thought that you did, I think you've done another one.
Maybe I have, but this one I felt really good about.
Okay. There was a lot of people there.
Yes.
But in fact, I know you have, but we'll settle this matter later. Okay.
Excellent.
I have learned and keep learning that perfect holds no value.
See every other podcast before this one.
Yes. A lot of the things in the past, my biggest obstacle in the past has always been waiting for something to be just right before we launched it. Or I want to know that all the kinks are ironed out, or that everything is going to go smoothly, or it's going to be perfect and it's going to be so impressive. And it just keeps me from doing a lot of things.
I'm curious, since you've been a perfectionist up to this point, mm-hmm. do you feel like if you let go of that, some of your excellence will also go away?
I think that I'm not letting go of excellence. I'm letting go of perfect. And maybe that's the lesson, is realizing the difference, because mm-hmm. I think that you can still critique the things that you're doing, and mm-hmm. you can still have a level of excellence that is important, but perfect doesn't exist. And so perfect is a waste of time, but excellence isn't. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But also what the level of excellence I'm capable of on any given day is going to vary.
Which, that's frustrating, isn't it? I would love to expect the same things out of myself every day. The same level of, you know, drive or creativity or what have you.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work like that.
No.
Guess I gotta have grace for myself.
And it goes back again to naming what matters, right? Does it matter that this thing is perfect, or does it matter that this thing gets put out into the world? So that's if I important. Can't have both, then which one am I going to prioritize? Because if I prioritize perfect, then it serves us no good.
Nope. Nothing gets put out into the world.
Nope.
Going back to one of our previous podcasts, one of the things I learned this year is that it's okay to quit and be like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. With Mending Mondays, that was a big one. But there's been a few other things where I've just learned that it's okay to let go of some things and just, you know, since they're not important or they're not bringing me what I need, just let them go.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned the podcast, because I meant to say that at the beginning, that a lot of the things we are learning throughout the year become what we talk about on the podcast. Like, that's why we talk about them, because something that week, or, you know, it's been a recurring theme over the last month or so. And then that's what brings it to the top of our list of topics.
It's been really strange to me to go back and listen or read through some of my notes and think, wow, that's what I thought then, but I think a little bit differently now, or I feel differently mm-hmm. now about that topic. So I'm even growing even after recording the podcasts.
Well, that's what's scary about the podcast, because people could listen to that at any time and you may not still agree with yourself.
Hey, you know what? If it don't apply, let it fly. You know, if there's something, heard that? Take what you need, leave the rest. So, you know, someone may listen to that podcast where we may not agree with it anymore, but they find use out of it.
Sure. That's true. Is it my turn?
Yes, go ahead.
Speaking of that, I guess if it doesn't fly,
if it don't apply, let it fly.
Okay. My opinion doesn't always need to be added to the conversation. Like sometimes I can just listen to what someone else is saying. I can just be curious about their perspective. And I don't always need to voice what I think about a particular thing.
That's so tough. Uh-huh. Because you think that part of a conversation is, oh, I have to add my two cents so that I'm participating.
Also because I think I'm generally right about things.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're awesome. And you've thought long and hard about these things.
Which that's another thing I wrote down, but further down on my list is that I'm not always right. And like sometimes I need to apologize for things.
That's a hard one.
But back to this one about my opinion doesn't always need to be voiced. I have learned particularly in my teen class. Mm. Because there are a lot of things that they talk about. And because of their age, the conversation feels one way to them. And because of my age and my perspective, I would maybe have an opinion that isn't going to be helpful to them.
Or maybe it's something that they're not ready for.
Right.
A lot of teenage conversations and even some kid conversations are them just trying to figure things out.
Yes.
Because they have a hard time figuring it out in their own head or they don't have a place to journal about it. So they're trying to figure things out. And you adding your two cents doesn't necessarily help.
Especially if it hasn't been asked for. Yeah. Now, if they're having a conversation with me directly and they ask me what I think about something, then that's different. Mm-hmm. But it's also okay to let them figure things out for themselves.
That's so hard because sometimes we just want to be really hands-on with young people. And sometimes you just got to let them go, mm-hmm. let them figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough thing to do. Yeah.
But they're my favorite, so I like it.
Yeah. Well, and we have a really good group that are willing to listen to each other. And they also disagree with each other really well.
Uh-huh.
And I like that. We should learn how to disagree with each other well.
Yeah, it used to be a thing we could do, and now, oh, not so much. Okay.
We struggle with that.
Your turn.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, teaching the homeschool classes has taught me that I really do need to focus on making sure my classes are age appropriate, being that focusing on skill level. Again, naming what's important about that class. Is it important that the kids are able to go through this specific project, or is it more important that they understand the concept that I'm trying to teach them? And so even if they go home with something that isn't, you know, frame worthy, as long as they understand, oh, I learned about shape today, or I learned about color, that's what's going to be the most important.
That's a hard balance for us, isn't it? That even in the adult classes, when we're trying to teach a skill, but then we want people to have a finished project at the end. Mm-hmm. But that isn't always possible. Like you can't always teach a skill and give people time to create an entire project if the class is 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is. Sometimes it's just about the skill.
Yeah. I wish that I could help people to see that really, here at Make Do, we're not about the product that you go home mm-hmm. with, but the experience that you have here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something we'll talk about in the next podcast, is focusing on like how to make do more of an experience versus I went here and made this. Isn't this cool?
Right.
So
it's tricky when you have places like the painting classes or whatever, mm-hmm. where it is about the product. And I think that there's just a level of expectation for that here. But I also think that we are walking that line well.
Yeah. Especially with the kids' classes, mm-hmm. I feel pretty free, because the parents, you know, they get to see some of the finished projects, but they know that their kid is learning something mm-hmm. and they're okay that their kid comes home with something that may not be finished or may not look like the product that they were thinking.
This isn't something that I had written down, but I should have. It is a lesson I've learned over the past several years, is that you can manage people's response to something by managing their expectations. Yes. So if I set from the beginning of a class this is what you can expect in this class. This is what will not happen. Like, this is what you'll learn. This is what you'll walk away with. This is how you'll be equipped for the future, but you're not going to end up with a finished project or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then the reviews that we get or the feedback that we get from that class is a lot more positive versus if someone comes in thinking they're going to get one thing and they walk away with something else, then they're unhappy.
You know, I think you're right that we've done a good job of communicating mm-hmm. With people about what our classes are really about.
Right. So with the homeschool class, you know, letting parents know this is our focus. These other things are a byproduct, but they're not the focus of the class.
Exactly. All right. So that was something that I shared was, you know, learning how to teach a homeschool class and the expectations that are there. What's something else that you've learned?
Well, I'll keep it kind of in the same realm of this conversation, but turn it to a personal level mm-hmm. as opposed to like when we're dealing with participants. Productive isn't the best metrics of hard work.
So checking all those things off your lists is not important or as important?
Right. Or at the end of the day being like, ooh, I got all of this stuff done mm-hmm. isn't the best metric of hard work or like being consistent in my work or showing up. Because first of all, things always get in the way.
There's always obstacles.
Yes. Oh. Things always get in the way. Also, sometimes a lot of our work isn't about a product or something measurable like that anyway. Like a lot of our work is very creative in nature or planning or, you know, there's just...
It's hard to draw that straight line between what we're doing and then like...
Or like a lot of what I have to do is learn how to do something. Mm-hmm. So then it can be hard for me to remember that the time that I'm learning, whether that's watching YouTube videos or joining a webinar or whatever, that counts as time that I'm, in quotes, on the clock.
Yeah. It's you're benefiting make do right. by doing that.
Right. And it's not just the times that I am actually finishing the website that count. It's all of the time that I took learning how to do the website too.
This is interesting because just yesterday I was talking to Richard about Saturday where I wanted to get a lot of different things done. I've been working a few weekends and just a lot of things have been piling up around the house and I had all of these things I wanted to do. And I got to do some of them, but there were a few that I was like, man, I wish I had gotten to hanging up more pictures or, you know, a few other things, or I didn't get to cleaning mm-hmm. this. And I thought, if I only focus on the things that I didn't get to, mm-hmm. it's never going to make me feel good about the things that I did get Mm-mm. to, which were important.
Right.
I needed to do laundry.
Right. Well, and sometimes I think, so when I have a day off, or here's a more realistic what it's been like for us at Make Do right now, we have not had a day this month that something hasn't been happening. Mm-hmm. So every Saturday, every Sunday, we've had something. So even if I'm just showing up here to do a 2-hour party, that's not a full day of work, but it's still a day that is taken up with work. Mm-hmm. And so it means I'm not as productive at home.
Yes.
So how I'm starting to look at it is, were there times that I was sitting on the couch thinking, I've been sitting here too long. I really should get up and do something. Or did I consistently move through my day even if I didn't get everything done? And that's not saying that spending 2 hours on the couch is not worth the 2 hours that you spent there. You know, because sometimes that is the thing that I needed to have on my
especially with how busy you've been.
Right. But I also know the difference. You know, you can just feel the difference in your body when you're tired because you've been working hard or when you're tired because you've been being lazy.
Yes. And I think that kind of plays into listening to yourself and taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. which was the other thing that I've learned this year was that taking care of myself can be fun. It's empowering and it's helped me to rest better, to replenish better. I specifically said this to Richard. I said, I need to do something today that's replenishing. Mm-hmm. I don't need to just sit and watch a movie. Mm-hmm. I need to go and, you know, do something new or like find another means to replenish myself. So we've been working out more consistently. I've been going to yoga once a week. I have been trying to eat better and then also listen to my body more of like, what do I need right now? Do I need to make myself a cup of tea and sit down with a book? Do I need to just kind of veg and watch a movie? Do I need to go and take a walk? And then actually doing the things that my body is telling me to do. It's been really helpful and has made me feel like I can get, like I feel like I can get more done. I may not be getting more done, but it just feels like.
Well, but again, it's not about getting more done.
No, it's just like, maybe a better way to put it is not everything feels like a slog.
Right.
Because I'm tired and I'm not taking care of me.
Yeah.
Since I'm taking care of me and making myself a priority, everything else feels a lot easier to do.
Right. Happy hour always helps.
This is true.
I don't know that I learned that lesson this year. And, you know, it feels like it's been a while. But, you know, 1:30, 2:30... happy hour always makes things better.
Taking those little breaks for yourself. Well, and you
and I mean Sonic happy hour.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sonic happy hour.
Just so y'all know. We're not having adult happy hour at 1:30
on
most days.
Well, you told me the other day that drinks are your love language.
Yeah.
And so you're learning that about yourself. And so now you know how to take care of inner Joe is to get her some drinks.
Yeah. Just beverages in general.
Yeah. Tasty beverages.
I don't know if I said this on the podcast. Maybe I already did. I don't remember. But I have an internet friend who just started a fabric. She has a fabric shop and just opened a physical location.
Oh.
And so I sent her $6 on Venmo to get a fancy coffee that week. And it's, you know, I don't know her. We've never met, but I just thought I would really love this. And that's when that was kind of my realization that, oh, wait a minute. I think sending people beverages or like bringing someone a drink is my love language.
Well, it's easy and also just a quick way to bring someone joy.
And whenever I ask people, hey, I'm going to Sonic, what can I bring you? And when they say nothing, it makes me sad.
Yes. Well, I didn't learn that this year, but I had to learn that last year when I would say, oh, no, you don't have to get me anything. Joe's like, no, I need you to say yes. I need you to get it.
Right. Like, I'm not asking just to not be rude.
Yes.
Like, I'm asking because I really want to bring you something.
Plus, it's so much better when you get to enjoy beverages with someone else. Like, right now during the podcast, we have our warm beverages.
Mine is
lukewarm.
Okay. Also, this is an aside, but I found out because I order mine and Madison's Sonic drinks a lot on my app, but then Madison will be the one that goes and picks them up. And I just learned that she tells people she's picking it up for her boss so that they know to get it right.
Yes. I'm hoping maybe I can shame them into like, oh, man, if we get it wrong, this person might get reprimanded.
It's when you say things like that I go back to that. Lesson I'm learning on how to be the boss. Because sometimes when you say that, I'm like, wait, who? Oh, yeah, me.
Okay. It's you.
Okay, right. Happy hour always helps. What's your next thing you've learned?
How to have purple hair. Also read as how to clean up after yourself.
What?
Yes. Okay. So in having purple hair, I've had to learn that I need to be really more like aware of where I'm sitting and what I'm doing. Because if my hair gets damp or even pretty warm when it's fresh, I could leave purple spots in places. Or like when I take a shower, it looks like I've been pressing grapes in my tub. So I've had to be more cognizant, which is something I really do struggle with. Like being in my body and knowing like where things are within my space. I was never an athlete, so all of that stuff just feels very foreign to me. So it's kind of taught me to be more aware of my surroundings. I'm still working on it and I'm still pretty bad at it. But having purple hair has taught me you need to watch where, your hair goes. Because even when Even when, you know, you do that thing where you like shampoo your hair and then you like comb out the loose hair and you put it on your shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I leave it there for too long, you can see all the purple squiggly lines after it away.
That's funny. Well, I'm learning how to have not short hair.
That's true. Your gray hair right now is in a lovely swoop. Oh, I love it.
In a little half wave.
Yeah. I like it.
I haven't decided yet how I feel. Because I was just watching an old YouTube video. Oh, because to learn how to teach a class last night that we had done last year. Anyway, it had my short hair. And I just love my short hair so much. But I'm committed. I'm being patient and committed to letting it grow for a minute.
I'm enjoying it.
Oh, thank you. Okay. If you build it.
Yes.
Isn't enough.
Oh, the if you build it, they
right,
will come.
Right. Like, it's not enough to just build it and then wait for people to come. You also have to let people know you built it. You have to, like, let people know it exists. People aren't just going to accidentally show up at the baseball field in the middle of nowhere.
But doesn't that feel weird to be like, hey, come look at me and these thing and this thing that I've made?
Yeah, you know, but if we think the thing we made has value.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our job to tell people that it exists and that it has value and why they should participate. Like, that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always helpful too when people who participate at Make Do are then telling people about it. But that doesn't happen if we don't get like the first people here. So I just think about story time that we did this summer, or you know, we are making craft kits and we're trying to partner with local organizations to like give them away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like pulling teeth to get people to take our free craft kits that we're trying to give them. So that's kind of what I mean by just having it available or offering it isn't enough. So are people not showing up because it's not what they want, or because it just doesn't fit, you know, or because they don't know about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're finding mostly is that it's just that people don't know.
Yeah. Most people, when they find out, oh, there's this like really cool space where I can come and create, they want to come.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to let them know that we
And we can't take it personally when they don't.
Oh, yeah. That is a tough one. That is something else that I've learned this year too, is that when we have to cancel something is to not take it personally.
You have had to learn that this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I already had learned that.
Yes, you knew this. But there's a lot of things that you, which is, I'm glad that you're the leader, that you're the boss, that you can impart that wisdom to me of, yes, it's not personal. It's just sometimes
this
it
is your
work.
First full year.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have had, you'd been here like since the fall of 2019. So this time last year, you had been here a full year, but you hadn't been here a whole year yet, like in your role.
Yes.
And with having some decision-making power. And so it is you're like seeing behind the curtain in a way that you weren't before.
Yeah.
It's messy behind the curtain, y'all.
And it's mostly because of me.
Yeah. I was looking for something last night and I said, for the private party, and I said, when I'm the only one making the mess, I know where things are.
Yep.
But Madison is also making the mess or in trying to tidy the mess.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't put things back where I would put things back.
Yeah.
Also, Madison's taller than me. And so a lot of things end up higher than where I think that they would go.
Yes.
So
I should keep that in mind when I'm.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, I can adjust. I have been my whole life.
Let's see.
I don't remember whose turn it was. Oh, we just were talking about when things get canceled, it's not our fault. But that was with me talking about if you build it, they will come isn't really true.
You know, I think that pretty much wraps up what I said.
Oh, okay. I have two more things that I learned. One, lemon heads go bad.
Dude, it was the weirdest thing. They like kind of melted.
Yeah, it's almost like water got into their packages, but they're individually wrapped
and like sealed, like heat sealed,
and they're supposed to be good until like next summer. So anyway, right now, if you get a kit or a coloring book, it's not going to have a lemon head in it. And our deepest apologies.
Yeah, we're sorry.
But it's because the whole bag was bad. Okay. And also, I got to write it down.
Dude.
I used to think I could hold everything in my brain. And so specifically, I've been learning how to transition to a digital calendar.
Oh, yes.
Like not a daily to-do list, but my calendar. I no longer use like a written planner
mm-hmm.
or a paper planner. It's all digital.
I'm still trying to figure this out. I have a few things where like we have like a Google Keep that mm-hmm. we can put things on, and I've been trying to put more there, but like trying to find ways of where am I going to look at this as I'm going through my day.
Right.
Because I don't really sit at my computer all that much.
No. Well, and out of necessity, we had to put our calendar, we had to start using Google Calendar because yours and mine interact.
Yes.
And we needed to be able to see all of that together.
But it was really awesome because today we were asking like, oh yeah, what are we going to record today? Well, it was on the calendar. And then it's like, yeah. Why are we recording today? Oh yes, because of this and this.
Yeah.
And it does make things so much easier.
And then it's just taking the time to set up your system for how it's going to work.
Yes.
So we're learning, we're still learning that. And I will always still cherish more than anything the actual physical calendar. Oh. In my office.
Yes.
Like the big calendar with all of the classes on it.
What's that made out of?
Well, it's acrylic sheets.
Oh, okay.
And then, I won't go into it on here. It will be boring. If you are listening to this and you want to know how I made the big calendar, send me an email or an Instagram message and I'll tell you. Okay. Yeah, write it down. That was my last thing I've learned.
Yeah. And for me, if I write it down, I need to put it where I am going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Come across it. Yeah.
Oh. I feel like a lot of my time is also just spent rewriting my to-do list from one week to the next.
Oh, like taking things that weren't finished and transferring them over to the next one.
Because when I get too many things marked out and notes and blah, 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 I don't see the things anymore. So I have to like rewrite it.
For me, that would be tough because then it's a constant reminder of, oh, I didn't get that done. So I guess
kind
of,
but
here.
I think I'm getting better at like, it just means it wasn't the priority that week, but it had to be on the list because it needed to be out of my head.
Ah, so you're changing your viewpoint,
uh-huh.
your mindset about uh-huh. it. That's probably healthier.
Because it does still need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need to pay my payroll taxes. It needs to happen this week before I leave, but it was on my list last week too.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't get done last week because I didn't have time. Do you see what I'm saying?
But you're not shaming yourself over
it. Because again, like I learned, I can't do it all.
No. Nope.
It doesn't all need doing anyway, even though paying your payroll taxes do need to be done.
Oh, yes.
They're one of the things that does need to be done.
For anyone who's listening in.
Yes. Okay, what's your sweet this week?
My sweet is that I have in my house that I bought. I have my stockings up. My tree is up. I have a gallery wall up. So like my living room feels like a cozy, warm.
It feels like you live there.
Holiday. Yes. It just feels so good. And when I put the fireplace Yule log thing on my TV, it just looks perfect. Because each side of my TV is flanked by all my books. So it's like all of my happy things are in there.
Yeah.
Pictures and
that's lovely.
All that, so
my sweet is that... Almost, we've got this week left, and then we'll be done with being busy, busy.
Yes.
Like with something every day on the calendar every day.
Oh, that'll feel so good.
And then I'm going home, and then you'll be here a few days on your own.
Yes. Again.
But.
It's okay, though.
But by the time people are listening to this, you'll be home.
You're right. Which brings me to my sour.
Yeah, what's your sour?
I'm sore because I've been working out again.
Okay.
And more than likely, when you're listening to this, I will be sore as well. Because Richard, I'm going to visit my husband's family for Christmas, and his family loves to work out. They have like a whole like weight room in their basement, and I told them that this year I would work out with them.
But you've been working out, right?
Yes.
So it will be fine because you've been working out.
Yeah. But
also, are you doing some sort of like, are you following a program?
No.
You're just showing up and being like, I'll just do bicep curls today.
Well, I'm doing like certain muscle groups. Like yesterday it was traps and lats. And then like we do like a leg day and then like arm day.
So you're just making up what you're going to do on the day?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have yoga every Monday, yeah. which is good. Keeps me limber.
Well, here will just be my advice for when you work out with his family. I was going to say just stick to your program.
Oh, yeah. They only have free weights, and I've been working out on machines, so it's going to be different.
Yeah. So I would just say, just you don't have to impress anyone.
Oh, no. They're all stronger than me, yeah. including his sister, who's like 2 years younger. And
age has nothing to do with it when you're old. Well, when you're a grown up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Okay, my sour is that my favorite month is almost over. It's only halfway over, but by the time you're hearing this episode, it will be seriously almost over. And I love December so much. And I just get sad when it gets close to an end. Even though the last 2 weeks are my favorite time of December.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is like a preemptive. This is a sour I'm feeling for the future.
You were channeling that future Joe. Yeah, and so
it's not a
jokes.
Sour for this week right now, but it's a sour for when you're listening to this, is that I'll be a little sad because December's almost over.
Girl, I feel you. That's how I feel about Halloween. Those 2 weeks leading up to it,
and then
feels
you get
good.
Sad. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. It is the end of the year.
Yes.
If you listen to all, I don't know how long we've been talking, but it's been like really all about us this episode.
Yeah.
So I hope you got something out of it and thank you for listening to the end. But in case you didn't know, Make Do is a nonprofit and we rely on charitable donations, both monthly gifts and one-time contributions. And it is the end of the year. So I'm going to do, which I've never done, a plea for donations before. But there will be a link in the description of the podcast that you can click on and make a one-time end-of-year donation.
It would be so great.
Yeah. And if you want to make that monthly, you can, but no expectation. But just consider donating, putting a little toward us. We don't have a Patreon.
Nope.
So you can just think of it as supporting us on Patreon. But anyway.
Be a part of the big picture.
Yes, we do call it the big picture. Get it? Because it's like lemonade. And it's how we're able to continue pouring creativity into our community. So
pour into us, we'll pour out. Everybody gets a little lemonade.
Yep.
It's a good time.
Yeah. So that's my sell, my hard pitch. Help us build it so they will come.
We'll tell them about it. Just help us build it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll sing you a song since Madison has said she's not doing it anymore.
No, can't think of one.
Can't think of one. I'll sing you one to the tune of Moon River.
Okay.
Since that is what is stuck in my head. Moon River, never mind, I can't think of anything to sing. I hope you had a good Christmas. I forgot how the tune goes. All right, y'all, you get it. We love you. Thanks for listening. Yes. I guess when we talk to you next, it'll be 2022.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Well, no, not Happy New Year yet. No. Enjoy this.
Enjoy the
days.
Rest of this new year. Yeah. Drink some water.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated.
Happy hour.
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.